Okay, here we go. We are at the bottom of Chaf Amud Beis. 20b. I believe we're at Tashima.
Yes.
So the Gemara just said from Rav Safra that the case of our Mishnah, maybe? I think I'm at the wrong Tashima. We just said from Rav Safra, Shenimsa bin Shtaros Kruyin, that the case of the Mishnah is that the receipt was found between other torn up loan documents. And therefore we can assume the receipt and the I think our case was Simponos. Is that also translated? I think it's the same type of thing. That because it is in between these torn up documents, we assume that it's a real receipt, as opposed to if you found a receipt which was just in the hands of the Malveh, we don't necessarily believe that it's a legitimate receipt. Maybe it wasn't. I guess because the torn up shtaros are from the loan. But Tashima, let's see. The Mishnah says, I think we're trying to bring in that concept from a different place in Baba Basra. Nimtza le'echad bein shtarosav shtaros shel Yosef ben Shimon parua. Right? In between his documents, he finds a paper that says that the shtar of Yosef ben Shimon was paid off. And there's also documents of Yosef ben Shimon that were torn up. But he doesn't remember.
And there were two debtors bearing that name.
Right. So Shtaros Shneim Pruin. And the two documents or loan documents that were in his hand or in his possession were both ripped up. So then
my impression here
we assume that both of them are paid?
Is that there are two loans to a Yosef and Shimon. He found a document saying that one had been paid, then both are deemed to be paid.
Right. You only find one receipt, but there were two shtars. And he can't collect from either one. Because he can claim that both of them, I have a receipt for that. Okay. So therefore... and therefore, what are we trying to say from this? We're trying to say about Rabbi Yirmiya. Rabbi Yirmiya is the one that said at the beginning of the section, Rabbi Yirmiya says from Bar Abba says from Rav, Simpona Yotzi Mitachas de Amalva, Alpha Vishakasa Viksav Yado, Eno Element Kimzachik Apostle, that if the Malva has the shtar, it's no good. So, or the Simpon. Yeah, Simpon, Shobar, same thing, the receipt. If the Malva has the receipt, so it's a joke. Misachik. And here we're saying, wait a second, no, here it says that you can use the receipt if you have it in your hand, the Malva. So the Gemara says, no, ki the Mar of Saf, Shinimtza ben Shtaros Kruin, Hachanami, Shinimtza ben Shtaros Kruin. That's when Rabbi Yirmiya would agree that the Shobar is kasher, because then you have the proof that it was with another document. Tashima, Shavua Shloba Pak. Pekadanu Abba. Shavua, we swear that our father never told us that something was paid off. Vishalo Amar Lanu Abba, Vishalo Matsanu Bin Shtarosav Shal Abba, Shishtar Zat Perua. What's the case? You found a shtar and they don't know what the status of it is?
We swear that our father has not instructed us or said anything to us, and that we have not found any note among us that attests to the fact that this note of indebtedness has been paid. This is the oath. This oath has to be taken by orphans who wish to collect debts due to their father.
Right. The Malva's kids are coming to the Lova's kids and saying, our father has the shtar, and it doesn't. He never told us it was paid off. We just have the shtar. So can you pay it? So I'm Rav Safra, shenimza bin shtaros kruin. What does that have to do with the case? He's a shtar.
If it is valid if it's found among his torn documents. This is why the orphans have to swear that no such note has
been. Oh, because the phrase that they say. Shalom atzanu bein shtaros of shalaba is referring to a receipt. Shalom atzanu shovar bein shtaros of shalaba. We didn't find any receipts or anything like that. Okay, so there also sort of says or safa is between torn up documents, which would prove that that it was already paid. Tashima simpon shiyeshalav edim iskayim bechosmav. You can substantiate a shovar with the witnesses. Eim iskayim bechosmav. Why does it say Yiskayim Bichosmav? It should be Mechosmav. I mean, the ones that are already on it. What's Bichosmav? So, Dishayelinan Lehu Lesada Yiparu Yilo. We ask for more. We go to those people that are signed on the Shinpon and we say, did you sign this? And therefore, it's Bichosmav with the people that are signing it. Tashima Simpon Sheshlav Edim Kasher. My Edim Edekium. What does it mean that they are edim on a simpon? It's edei kiyum. Edei kiyum is different from edei kinyan, I think, or edei raya. I think that's edei kiyum and edei raya. Let me see for a second. Okay, so basically this, there are edei kiyum, which means that the fact that they're on the document is enough to say this document is good. As opposed to edei raya, you have to bring in later and sort of ask them about it. The fact that it's on, that the edim are on the document means everything was done, kadasu kadin, it's all proper. So it says afterwards, if there are no edim, then it's possible. So my ain alav edim. What does it mean? There's no edim. If there are no witnesses, of course it's no good. Of course it's no good if there's no witnesses on the actual that were on the actual document. There are definitely signatures of witnesses. But what it's saying is that because it didn't have any edei kiyum, meaning that it wasn't done in Beis Din, and they didn't write for it a receipt, so then it's no good. Something like that, like a stamp of approval from Beis Din that we saw this whole process and it all happened. Okay, gufa simpon sheish lav edim yiskayim bechosamav ein lav edim v'yotzei mitachas shlish. If there are no witnesses, meaning edei kiyum, that it was never substantiated, the document was never substantiated in Beis Din, which would have been proven by the edei kiyum, or if it was mitachas yidei shlish, it's not from the lova or the malva, but a third party. I guess he was like the one to save to keep it.
Yeah, so it's the third party was trusted to hold on to it and give it back to the borrower.
Right, okay. Oh, shiyotzu l'achachit mishtaros. Or that the receipt was, what does that mean, yotzei l'achar? I don't know what that means, yotzei l'achachit mishtaros. After the documents, what documents, I don't know, were signed, so then we find the receipt afterwards.
The Gemara is going to explain.
Clearly the lender had trusted this third party. I guess maybe they know that there's a timing difference.
There was a receipt
he wrote the receipt on the loan document itself, and the lender would have never ruined his loan document by writing receipt on it.
Mara Leilishtari. I don't know what Yotze La'acharchitim Shtaros means. The words don't sound like that. La'acharchitim Shtaros. After the signing of the shtar,
so I think it, means it came out. The signing of the shtar.
All right. Hadron Alech Shnai Mochsen. Wow. Huge parak that we just finished. Very fundamental parak that many kids start off with. Now you can be on par with them. Okay. Says Mishnah. El Mitzir Shalom. Another famous parak. Some people start learning Gemara from this parak, not from the beginning. Elu Mitzir Shalom v'elu Chai L'Hachris. Which items do you get to keep, and which items do you have to sort of announce? So let's say you find something in the street, right? This happens pretty, you know, fairly often. You just find something, and the question is, are you allowed to keep it, or do you have to announce it? Hey, who is this? This is Elim Yeshalom, Matzah Peres Mefuzarin, Malos Mefuzaros, Krikos Brishos Harabim, V'Igulei Dvele Kikaros, Shel Nachto, Machrozos, Shel Dagim, V'Chatichos Shel Basar, V'Gizei Tzemre Halukuchim Medina San, V'Ani Tzepishtan L'Shonos Shel Argaman. Hare Elu Shalom, Divrei Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir believes that if you have scattered fruit, scattered coins, bundles of grain in a public area, I'm reading here from the Koran because I don't have my Gemara, so it's a little easier for all of you. You don't have to translate everything for me. Round cakes of figs, baker's loaves, strings of fish, cuts of meat, wool, fleeces that are taken from their state of origin. What does that mean?
I.e. unprocessed.
I guess they're just like straight wholesale material as opposed to processed in any way. Flax stalks and strips of purple wool. Lashonos is an interesting word for that. That means tongues. But you can keep all of those things because there's nothing about them that's identifiable. Right? They're just, as we said, from the wool. The wool is just very unprocessed. Doesn't have any identifying qualities to it. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Kol Sheyesh Bo Shinoi Chayav La'Achris. Anything that has any change to it, you'd have to announce. I'm not sure if he's disagreeing or clarifying what Rabbi Meir said. Ketzad, Matzah Igol B'Socho Cheres. If you find a fig cake, but in the middle of the fig cake is earthenware?
Is a shard of pottery.
Is that like a, I don't know, stylistic? I don't know why there would be a party shard in the middle of a cake, but okay. I would
but
not
the
want
point
that
is
my
that
cake.
Somebody could
yeah,
say,
somebody know, put that in there.
It's unusual enough that right. Somebody could say, hey, I lost my fig cake, and I know it was mine because it has this shard of pottery in it.
Right. Kikar of Sochomaus, or bread that has coins in it. Okay. So for those, you have to announce it. Hey, I found this coin inside my cake. Does that, or this bread, does that mean anybody did that? Rabbi Shimon Elazar Omer, Kol Kli Anpuria Ein Chayav L'Hachris. Any kind of Anpuria.
New merchandise. That's no idea what
that is. It sounds just like it's from a mold or something. It's very routine. It's like a, they have pictures down here. I don't know what they are.
The note here says the Gemara on 23b will explain that this means vessels that are so new that the owner wouldn't yet be familiar.
Right. It's like straight off the shelf, straight off the product line. They didn't paint it or anything. Says the Gemara, Matzah Peres Mefuzarin V'Kama. We said that if you find scattered produce, I'm pretty sure I remember learning this in middle school. Matzah Peres Mefuzarin V'Kama. Amar Ebitza Kav V'Arba Amos. It's the amount, and this is, I guess, just a proportion. It's the ratio of one kav per four amos. So, hey, chidami. What happened? Ider nefila afila tuvanami. If it was in a way that seems like it had all fallen down onto the floor.
Accidentally.
So, and even more than that would be presumably belonging to you. But if it was placed there on purpose, but if it was clearly placed in a specific orientation, so even if it's less than that, you should not be able to keep it. Meaning if it's like really scattered, and it's mamish, there's no rhyme or reason to it, and clearly it looks like nobody came back for it. Just, oh, it all fell, I'm just going to leave it here. So clearly you can have, you can, it's non-distinguishable.
And it's and we would say, a lot of this is going to come down to what we call yayush. Did the person put it this? Did the person who had this put it here on purpose, or did he just give up on it? So if it's scattered, there's tons of it, and even if it's more than a kav per amma, so then why are we assuming that he's coming back for it? It's clearly he just left here and forgotten.
Is this an issue of yayush, or is this just an issue of nobody's going to be able to identify?
Either or. I mean, I think the two are intertwined, but there is some gray area. There could be a time where it's not identifiable, but a person would still be looking. But there also, I think there's a lot of overlap where it's like, I'm never going to find those things because they're so unidentifiable. Like, I can't prove it to anyone that it's mine. I'm just going to give up on it.
Even there, you know, in the first hours of hearing this, maybe nobody's
could be a time.
Let me just go.
Right. It could be a time element to it also. We'll have to see.
The finder's going to have no idea how long it's been sitting there.
Right. Amar Rav Ukva, unless he lives nearby or something, I don't know. Amar Rav Ukva Bar Chama, b'machnashta devei darei askinan. B'machnashta. What is that? Gathering of grain on the threshing floor. Karba arba amos nafish tirchayu lo tarach inish v'lo hadar asi v'shakilhu. If it's scattered, and we're talking about little pieces of grain, so a person is not going to care about that much. You know, you're not going to care to put in that much effort to get all the grain, one kav per four amos. And he's going to make it mafkir. He's going to be have yeyush. He's going to say, I don't want it anymore. But if it's less than one kav per four amos, he'd be willing to pick it all up. This is why I always find these measurements so...
No, I think if it's one kav in less than four amos. So it's all close together.
Right, it's all close together, right.
Then he's going to bother to pick it up.
Right, right. One in four or less. One in four or more concentrated, I should say, not less per se.
Less space.
Less space, right.
Not less produce.
I just find it like a strange thing. Like you can't necessarily make a parallel case with other produce. Like produce is easier to pick up. Could be bigger, could be less heavy.
Grapes are going to be easier to pick up.
Right, it's going to be like four of them.
Nice.
Yeah, exactly. So I don't know.
Well, so far, we've got a problem. You know, 20 cav in, you know, 100.
Right, that's also a lot of effort. Yeah. I mean, if it's a ratio, so then we can get really effortful, even if it's less than that in proportion, it could still be a lot of work. Or more than that in proportion per amma. By Rabbi Yirmiyah, chatzikav v'shtei amos mahu. So now that's where we're asking, basically, does it make a difference how big, how many multiples of that ratio we're talking? Here we're talking about less than that. It's chatzikav v'shtei amos.
Which is the same ratio.
The same thing, but just a half.
It's going to be easier to pick up because they're close together.
Karva ramos tamamai mishum de nafish terchayo chatzikav v'shtei amos kevin del nafish terchayo lo mafker lehu odilma. So now we have two possibilities. It's either because of effort, or is it because of what's important? And in this case, half of a kav is not that much stuff, and it'll just have yeyush on it anyway. That's on one side of the argument. And then the other side, what if you double it? It's more. That's like David's question. Of course he's going to be mafkerit. O dilma mishum de lo chashivi. Or are we saying because it's not that important? Maybe it's about importance. And if you had more of it, so then he's not going to disregard that amount of stuff. Okay, just leaving that. It sounds like okay. I think I know what's coming. If you're familiar with when we ask questions one after the other. And we never give answers, so you know what happens. Kav shum shemin, I don't want to give up the ending. Kav shum shemin ba'arba amos mahu. What about sesame seeds? Kav ba'arba amos tamamai mishum delo chashiv, shum shum came into chashiv lo mafka lehu. Maybe the reason is because of importance. We're flipping the order here. And sesame seeds are even less important.
Are even more important,
therefore maybe the more valuable, and therefore the proportions would be even more stringent for you to be able to keep it. I don't know why they're more effortful than grain. Is grain and kernels that different? I don't know. So again, kav tamari barba amos, kav ramon barba amos mahu, kav barba amos tamamai mishum delo chashivi, kav tamari barba amos, kav ramon barba amos nami kevin delo chashivi mafkalu. Really? Rimonim and tamarim were less valuable back then? Is it, can you do less of it? I don't know. Less with it. Pomegranates and dates. To us, pomegranates and dates are more valuable than sesame seeds. So I don't know. Maybe because you have less of it per fruit. I don't know if you do it by weight or something. Or volume.
It would be easier to pick up a cob.
Yeah, also easier. And then that's the next part. Oh, Dilma, Mishim, Dimishtirchayo, Vikav Tamrei, Barba Amos, Vikav Rimana, Barba Amos, Kimdil, Nafishtirchayo, Lomafka, Luhumai. Right, so just big pieces of fruit. How many could there be in one 4 amma area? So
I mean, a kav is a unit of volume, so you're going to have very few
pomegranates. Right, probably, you know, only it's a bunch of seeds scattered all over the place. You got to get a broom or something. Yeah, so teku saw that coming. We don't know.
But this is a critical question. How
it's pretty critical. I think that the whole question off, you know, getting off the ground is like a weird question. It's about what do we determine as a person would want to go back for? You can't put that in a measurement. There are so many factors. That's what I was saying before.
All we're left with is exactly one kav.
I think all we're left with is nothing, because I don't think the kav per 4 amas was a legitimate measurement. Maybe for only grain it was a good measurement, but for everything else it's so interdependent on other things. You know, how valuable is this thing on the market? I'll put a little extra effort in if it's more valuable.
I mean, it's also going to depend on who the person is who lost it.
Yeah.
I mean, if I'm
their
really a rich guy, I might say, you know, it's not worth my effort to pick that up.
That one we can't necessarily judge when we don't have any owner around.
Right.
But I hear you. You know, that's definitely possible if we see the person drop them and say, oh, it was so-and-so. He doesn't care. That's a drop in a bucket for him. So, I don't know. We'll have to see. We will have to clarify from other
lost items by how long they've been lying around.
No, for
the
sure.
Stuff in our coat.
But we haven't said that at all. We haven't even mentioned any timing.
Abandoned things in our coat room.
Right. Let's assume for the moment, just because we haven't seen anything, that we're talking here about something which has no time identifier. It's not like we walked past it 5 years for 5 weeks and no one picked it up. Let's assume that, because we haven't said anything otherwise. I'm not sure they ever even actually get to that question. I don't remember.
Well, I mean, the place to get to that question, I think, is, let's say you do announce it and nobody claims it.
Oh, once you announce it, yeah. There's a timing. Right.
You know, you have to announce it before you can assume that whoever lost it would have heard the announcement, and if they're not claiming it, it's because they gave up and they don't want it.
Right. Yeah, I don't know. So here is a famous machlokas, Abaye and Rava. Itmar. Yeush Shalomidas. Yeush Shalomidas. I don't know if you've heard that phrase, but that sort of rings in my ears in seventh grade or something. Yeush Shalomidas. So what is Yeush Shalomidas? Yeush Shalomidas is basically a person we don't know if they actually ever gave up, which is essentially what we've been talking about, a lost item. And the person might not even know that it's lost from him. And now the question is, can we assume that there's Yeush? Did I explain that properly?
Well, isn't it? He doesn't know he lost it, so he didn't give up on it because he doesn't.
Right,
know
we are impugning what he would have thought.
If he would have known that he lost it, would he have gotten?
Right.
Would he have given up on it?
Right. Yeah. Meaning, it's an unknown. It's basically a lost item. Did the person have yeush for a lost item? Because assuming that he lost it and didn't know about it, so now we have to figure out whether or not he would want it. Yeush Shalomidas. Abaye Amar Lo Havi Yeush. Abaye says that you can't assume Yeush when a person doesn't know that they lost something. You can't assume that a person gave up on something if they never knew that they lost it. V'Rava Amar Havi Yeush. Rava says it could be, you can assume Yeush. B'davar Sheyeush Bo Simen Kuli Amar Lo Pligid Lo Havi Yeush. Everyone agrees, Abaye and Rava both agree that it is not considered Yeush if it has an identifying a quality to it. V'yaf agav d'shaminim d'miyai shalev asof. Even if we're going to say d'shamine d'miyayash lasof, even if we hear that he does actually have yeush,
right,
it's not even going to be yeush because there's a simen. D'chiyas liyade b'yisiru hudas liyade. Did you find the object and pick it up or something?
You found the object and picked it up before the guy realized it was lost.
Right. So at the moment you picked it up, you can't keep it because at the moment you picked it up, there was no yeush at that point. So dilchi yada did not fill me nay lo miayish, because when he dropped it, if he would have known, he wouldn't have given up. Meamar amar simana isli begave yav nesimana v'shakil nele. Right? Oh, I lost my teddy bear. I'll just say, hey, I know it's got this thing and that thing, and therefore I'll go get it. If you would have known about it. So even though later on he might say, yes, I don't care about the teddy bear anymore, you know, the guy still has to, I guess, give it back because he got it illegitimately. Bezuto shel yam b'shiluli so shel nahar. Something that was swept away by the river.
Something
or the sea.
In the first case is it's in the intertidal space of the seashore.
The what space?
The inter, you know, between the high tide and the low tide.
And so the tide came in and swept it away.
Okay, whatever, yeah.
Or on ground that's flooded.
Afa gav to isbe simon obishlilu social now, okay. Afa gav to isbe simon rachmana sharye kidibain al maimar lakaman. That's an interesting phrase. The Gemara does not usually self-reference like that. Hashem says it's okay. From the river to the sea, if it's lost, so then Hashem says it's okay. Kidbeinan l'meimar l'kaman, as we will say soon. I don't know who the editor of the Gemara was, and this sounds like a Sabaraim edition here. As we will say soon. Ki pligi, when do we disagree? B'davar she'ein bo simin, and it's not swept away. Interesting, he didn't say kuli alma, whatever. Abai amar, when it comes to something with no identifiable indicator, signs. Abai amar lo havier, shdaha lo yadid na filmeine. Abai says, how can we assume that he gave up on it? He doesn't even know he lost it. Rav amar havayayosh, dilchi yadid na filmeine, ya miyayosh. Rav says, you know, al shem sofo, we know that if we ever told him, by the way, you lost this nondescript bar of soap, he's like, okay, fine, who cares? So then we know he's going to have yayosh. Abai, you know, Abai would respond, who knows, maybe he loves that bar of soap, maybe that's his favorite soap, you know? So how can we assume? Meimar amar simna li leisli begave, mehashtu demiayish. So, because he said, I don't have any signage, I don't have any indicator that this is my bar of soap, so I'm going to just already have yayish right now. It just happens to be, he doesn't know about it, but if he knew about it, it'd be fine. Okay, simen, pamgash mamkagde kikasa'az. These are a lot of letters that we're going to go through. The first is a pei. Peiros mifuzarin. That's our Mishnah. Scattered fruit we say you can keep, according to Rabbi Meir. Halo yadid nafamine. Why don't we assume that that's a case where the person doesn't know he lost them? Ha amar Rav Ukva bar Chama, hach b'machnashta d'beizre yaskinan, da'avedu midahasi. No, that's the gathering of grain on the threshing floor, and specifically that amount of scattered grain that we say, oh, just leave it, and not worth the trouble to pick it all up. So that's the midas. That's not a question. In that situation, everyone's going to agree that it's yeush, because it's not l'shul midas. So we're not talking about Bai and Rava here. We're talking just Stam. The guy gave up on it. We know he gave up on it because of the fact that it's grain scattered on the threshing floor. Tashima Amal Smith Lazarus, what about money? Hare Elisho Amai. Why would scattered money be good enough that you can keep it? Hello, you have enough money. He doesn't know that it's lost. So Gemara says, no, Hasam Nami, Rabbi Yitzchak, Tamar Adam Asul Mashmesh, Kiso Shechal Shavasha, Hachnami Adam Asul Mashmesh, Kiso Shechal Shavasha. That a person would know about it because they're constantly checking their wallets or they're constantly checking their pockets for any other change. You know, a person comes home, okay, where's that, you know, 20 that I had earlier? And then they're all of a sudden, they're going to know about it. And the fact that they don't immediately retrace their steps and go pick it up means they must have had yayosh. So there's a sort of a cognizance there. It's not we're not assuming yayosh there. Educated or it's not
a semantics game.
Right. It's a little semantics. We are assuming, but we are assuming that he also made some level of decision.
Well,
right.
We're assuming he knew about it.
That's an assumption too, right? Yeah. We are assuming that he checked his pockets. That is a claim that we're now staking our claim that a person would generally know about it. It's not necessarily that he does, but generally he would. Tashma igulu devela v'kikarshal nachtom harei l'shalo. Pressed figs or a baker's loaf, so then we assume that you can keep it. Amai, v'halo yad did not fill minay. He doesn't know that he lost it. That's Yerushal Midas, and we're saying you can keep it. That's in line with Rava. So Gemara says, no, hasam nami, agav di yakiri, me di yad behu. Those are very precious, valuable items. And because, oh no, they're heavy, sorry. They could be valuable too, but they're heavy. And a person that just lose, you know, a fig cake and say, hey, my bags are lighter. It must be that I'm stronger. People don't say that. It's because I lost something, right? So he must have known, and therefore the fact that he knew and didn't go back for it is itself an indicator that he had yesh. Tashma'u l'shono shel argaman, tongues, or here it's strips of purple wool. Hare elu shelo v'amai halo yadu nafil minei hasmanai ma'agav dechashivi mashmushe mimashmesh behu v'chud Rebbe Yitzchak. Because they're important, I guess they're valuable. Is that one valuable?
That one's valuable.
That one's valuable wool, valuable dyed wool. He's not just going to forget about it. I can't, you know, you bring home your groceries and inside were these valuable things. So you're like, oh, where's that, you know, wool that I bought or whatever.
So the problem here is, I mean, he could be checking every 10 minutes. Okay, that's pretty good. But
right, we're missing the time element here. Maybe it just happened. He got home. He realized he didn't have his 20 in his wallet, and then he's on his way back to the store. But in the meantime, you found the 20, and you don't know when it was dropped. So yeah, the time element is interesting.
Purple strips.
Yeah. Tashima hamotzi melos bevatzi kinesios bevatzi midrashos. That's a different one. That's not our mission anymore. If you find money in a shul or in a beis medrash, uvechol makom sharab mitzuyin sham, and when there are a lot of people around, harei elu shelo mimnei shabal misyashim nehen, because they're going to give up. Why are we trying money again? V'halo yad nafil mei. He doesn't know that it fell from him. Amrei bitzak adam asul mashvish kis v'chol shah. Same thing as we expected before, that a person would know, and therefore, if he hasn't come back for it, that means he had yayush. Tashem ha-me'amas, I call it the mutar b'lekat, mishiyoch ha-bach ha-nemushos. When is every person allowed to collect the leftover harvested grain? Which is typically for poor people.
Right. At what point do you assume that the poor people have given up hope?
Right.
They're going to find anything. And so now it's...
When the nemushos come? What is nemushos? V'amri namai nemushos, v'amri Rabbi Yochanan, save da'azle atigra. In the elderly walk, we saw that, I don't know, was that recently, I think,
yeah,
that elderly people are already finished with it. Even there, the latecomers, because of their health, they come later, and they're still already done with it. Rish Lakish Amar lakute basar lakute. The second wave, I don't know what that means. I don't know how you judge who's the second wave. When does the second wave start? Why are we assuming that there aren't other poor people elsewhere that would come here and want to take it up? They want to collect it. So Amri, because there are poor people here, because other poor people are not going to want to come over there, because they'll assume that the other poor people from that place already collected it. Tashma ksios b'darech, if you find dried figs, there were I guess ksios is like they were cut up and they were
cut figs
on the path. I don't have dried figs here. Vafil b'tzad sedei ksios, even if it is on the side of a field
covered with cut figs.
And also a fig tree, which is like
hanging over,
yeah, it's like leaning over into the public thoroughfare. Umatzitim tachten, you see figs underneath it. Mutaros mishum gezel, you are allowed. You have no problem with stealing. Upturos minamaser, and you don't have to take miser from them. I guess because they're ownerless. So then ubezesim v'charuvim aser. But when it comes to olives or caribs, so then you're not allowed to. Bish lamerish lebayah kokasha gav techashivim ashmiru te'enanami meyedi yidia nenasra. So I guess that's a question. Oh no, so according to Abai, who says typically yesh lamidas, you can't take it. So then the reason that you can't take it at the beginning of the ketzios, people would, I guess they're important, people would like be constantly watching out for their figs.
To pick up any figs immediately.
So te'enanami made the yidia denastra. They'll also know that the figs fell off the tree. Elaseifel Rava kasha, but what about Rava? Why would zeis mechorim be aser? According to Rava, it should always be mutter, because yesh lamidas is mutter.
Rabbi
the place that it is, they'll know about it because his olive's grown a certain way or his carrot's grown a certain way. So, when a fig falls, it gets disgusting. Therefore, a person doesn't want to touch it anymore. Okay, shkaya chalaflit.